Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
What is up, bros? I'm Caleb.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we are a couple of bros on a mission to give you the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast in 4K Spotlight, we only have one new release this week. There's actually a couple, but only one that we're going to talk about. And then nothing for Through the Wall. And so after that, we'll be getting straight into Headliner, where we will be breaking down Scream 6. So, without further ado, let's say we get right on into this.
Every day, we're surrounded by media. Books, movies, art, music, games, apps, podcasts, etc., etc. With this constant bombardment, it's easy to miss great media gems in the chaos. But fret not. You've come to the right place, my friend. I'm Jason, and I love media. I invite you to check out the Mixed Media Forest podcast, the podcast where I trudge through the forests of media to find hidden gems for you, the listener. Every episode of Mixed Media Forest is chock full of fun, reviews, nostalgia, positivity, news, rants, stories, and recommendations about all things media. Again, that's the Mixed Media Forest podcast, created on Anchor Podcasting app and available everywhere fine podcasts can be found. Give it a listen. It's what all the cool kids are doing.
All right, first up in 4K Spotlight. Rose, would you like to tell everyone what's getting released this week?
I would love to. So this week, Megan is coming out. I never got to do that joke when we reviewed this, so I feel like gotta throw in that drawer. We don't talk about this movie again.
I would be genuinely surprised if anyone caught that joke.
Well, then y'all are there's a freaking word and I can't think of it right now. Son of a bitch. Uncultured.
Whatever word you're looking.
Uncultured. That's the word you were looking for? Yeah, uncultured. That's the word I'm looking for.
Shit.
If y'all do not know that line from Drake and Josh, when Josh is just like, Megan, what is wrong with you? You didn't grow up in the late 90s, early 2000s. I know not all of our listeners did, but I'm just saying, if you did and you don't recognize that, we're not friends.
Yeah, according to our statistics, most of the people that listen to us are either above that, like, that time period.
Oh,
or,
well,
like,
son of a bitch.
Significantly below.
Well, son of a bitch. Wait, significantly below? Why are they listening to our podcast? We have foul mouths.
Yeah, it beats me.
So, okay, all right. Anyway, actually getting to the 4K Spotlight. So Megan comes out this week, and unfortunately it's not getting a 4K release. It's just getting a Blu-ray release, but it is the unrated edition, which I guess means that a bunch of like deleted scenes, and like maybe it's like a lot more gruesome than the theater version that we got, because there were definitely some scenes, and I swear that me and Caleb talked about the review, that you could definitely tell that they were holding back because they wanted to go for that.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I've actually given some like real thought to watching the unrated version on Peacock.
Oh, they have the unrated version on Peacock? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I wanted to go through and see what we might have missed.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, I might not watch the whole thing, but I might just like skip through just to see like what was added.
Dude, the movie that I really want to see when it comes to Peacock is totally out of left field. Cocaine Bear. I cannot wait to check that one out.
Movie's
but it looks so much fun.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway. Yeah, so Megan comes out tomorrow. So if you guys want to pick it up, be sure to head out to your local Best Buy, Target, Walmart. Support physical media, guys. Support physical media.
All right, well, unless you have anything else to say about that.
No, I got nothing.
Yeah, then I say we move on to this week's headliner.
Hell yeah.
Alrighty, like we said, for this week's headliner, we will be breaking down the newest installment of the Scream franchise, Scream 6. But first, we did post a question of the week, and we did get some answers. And only one of them was an actual... So one was a joke answer, one was a legitimate answer, and then the other two were suggestions for us to do our recommendations on.
That's funny.
Yeah. So first up, we have... All right, let's just do the two like recommendation ones first. So first we got the_thunder_god 2010, who says, "Pitch Black, please. I got to stop, ask, and be patient." So he's wanting us to recommend Pitch Black.
Have you?
Which is a Vin Diesel movie.
Do you want to watch that one? Because I don't want to watch it.
I guess I'll watch it then.
Sorry, man. No, I'll watch it too. I'll make you suffer as well. I won't let you just suffer. That's mean. I'm sorry.
You don't even know if it's good or bad.
Yeah, I have a love-hate relationship with acting, okay? Sometimes can be really good, but...
Really good's a strong term.
Yeah, sometimes it can be aight. It can be aight. And then sometimes it can just be really bad. Especially in the Fast and Furious franchise, like, how the fuck is that shit still going?
Dude, who the hell knows?
Like, yeah, oh my god.
Dude, they're freaking... They're seriously one trip to hell away from turning into the Friday the 13th.
Dude, straight up.
Like, they already went to space, dude, supposedly. Didn't see the last one.
Dude, you don't give them ideas, because the 11 is going to have Jason.
Holy shit.
Wait, actually...
That'd be hilarious.
Actually, no, they can't. Because Universal...
Dude, if they just go balls to the wall, just, like, outrageous, like, I'm sold.
Hey, they got the rights to Michael and Chucky. Let's make something happen with those two.
Do it.
Well, wait, no, I'm sorry. No. They don't have the rights to Michael anymore. They already lost those. I think they can make something work, though.
Let's see. The next response that we got is from Lucas_plays13, who said, "Can you do Rio 2?
To answer your question, yes, we can do Rio 2, but I need to watch that movie once, and that was years. So I will rewatch that, and I will definitely... I'm assuming I'm going to review that one since I did the first one?
Yes. Okay. And I do not want to watch Rio 2.
Damn. So I will be definitely rewatching that as soon as possible, and we will definitely get that to you, my good sir.
All right. Next up, we got our joke answer, that comes from Timmy_54321, who said Garfield. Did I even say what our question was?
No, you didn't.
I'm freaking stupid. Okay, so on TikTok and Instagram, we posted a question of the week, and the question that we asked is in relation to the Scream franchise, and we just asked, what is your favorite scary movie? So, like I said, we got those two suggestions. The next response, like I said, is coming from this Tim May 54321, and they said, Garfield 2, A Tale of Two Kitties.
You know, he right. That's the scariest shit I've ever seen.
That is a real scary-ass movie. So, yeah. And then we got another response from an Anthony who said, the whole Scream series is my fave.
That's a good choice. That's a very...
I freaking love the Scream series
as
a whole.
I will say, the Scream franchise is one of the rare franchises that none of them, in my opinion, like, I have some ones that I prefer over the others, but none of them are, like, atrocious that I can't even... I still enjoy all.
I can definitely give you that. Like, that is a... I'll definitely agree with you on that. Like, I can't think of a single Scream, like, at least off the top of my head, that's just horrible. The closest one, I would say, is maybe 3.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I feel that's how everybody is. 3 is always at the bottom.
Yeah, but all the other ones were freaking awesome. So, yeah, definitely agree with you there, Anthony. So thank you to everyone that answered our question of the week. We appreciate it. But getting into this week's breakdown, if you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, but with this being a horror movie, we do change character development to logic. And that's just usually just changing, seeing if the movie followed its own logic and if everything made sense. And then we got effects, music, costumes, and then we give it our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers get magically added up, thrown through our algorithm, and spit out a letter grade for us to compare this movie to a similar score. It also gives us a percentage, which is not as important, but it is kind of fun just to see what the ranking is within those grade blocks. So, if you have not seen Scream 6, this is definitely a movie that can be spoiled. So, if you plan on seeing Scream 6 at all, we highly suggest you stop listening now and just come back later.
Because I think we can all agree it sucks when the Ghostface killer or killers is exposed. Spoiled.
I'll say yes. Yeah, I'll say yes to that. But typically, like, I think I enjoy Scream enough where knowing the killer would just kind of help me, like, see what kind of things I caught or missed.
See, I prefer to know... Like, I don't like knowing about who the killer is until the second viewing. Like, that way, you know, yeah, you can, like, go through and be like, oh, okay, you can definitely tell that's who in that ghost scene, that's them in that scene. I just prefer to do it on my second run through.
That's fair. That's totally fair. So again, if you have not seen Scream 6, please go check it out, then come back. Otherwise, if you listen beyond this point, things are going to get spoiled for you. So now is our favorite segment, Reading with Rose.
With 2 E's. One year after the Woodsboro killings orchestrated by Richie Kirsch and Amber Freeman, Black Moore University professor Laura Crane is catfished by her student Jason Carvey, who lures her outside a bar in New York City and kills her while wearing a Ghostface costume. Jason plots with his roommate Greg to kill sisters Sam and Tara Carpenter to finish what Richie and Amber started, but Jason receives a call from a different Ghostface who has murdered Greg and subsequently stabs Jason to death. Yeah, can we talk about the freaking opening really quickly? Like, this is such a good opening for a Scream movie, and I had a freaking...
Dude, I totally agree. I absolutely agree with you. Dude, like, this blew my mind.
Dude, right? And the fact that, like, before the title sequence comes up, Ghostface is just straight up just like, who gives a fuck about the movies? And freaking kills the guy. I'm just like, okay, I already love this Ghostface.
Dude, it was the shit. Like, I'll be real. I totally thought that they were going to go the whole route of it opening up as a stab movie.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they did. But didn't. I was, yeah, very glad that they did.
Appreciate that you changed it up.
Dude, I thought that was trippy as shit.
You're right.
What they did. Like, they did such a good job with that opening. Like, every time I thought that the title was about to come down, like, it didn't until, like what you said, where he's just like, who gives a shit? And so, like, oh, such a good opening. Such a good opening.
So, Sam and Tara now live in New York City and attend Blackmore with fellow survivors Chad and Mindy. Chad and Mindy Meeks Martin, along with their roommate Quinn, Mindy's grand Annika, and Chad's roommate. Sam attends therapy with Dr. Stone and is ostracized in public due to an online conspiracy theory that she was the true mastermind of the 2022. Quinn's father, Detective Wayne Bailey, calls Sam in for questioning as her ID was found at the scene of Jason's murder, along with the ghost face mask that was used in the previous year's killings. On the way to the station, Sam is called by Ghostface from Richie's phone, who then attacks Tara and pursues them into a bodega, killing multiple bystanders in Ghostface masks used in... At the station, the sisters meet with FBI Special Agent Kirby Reed, a survivor of the 2011 killings. They also encounter reporter Gail Weathers, who reveals that Sydney Prescott and her family have gone into hiding in response to recent attacks. Dr. Stone is murdered by Ghostface, who steals Sam's file and leaves the mask used in... Ghostface then attacks the group in Sam and Tara's apartment, killing Quinn and Annika in Windsor College killings. Wayne is officially taken off the case following Quinn's death, but vows to help the group and avenge his daughter. Gail takes the group to an abandoned cinema she found while investigating, which has been set up as a shrine to the Ghostface killers, including weapons and outfits from each set of attacks. Ghostface later calls Gail at her apartment and torments her about the death of Dewey Riley before killing her boyfriend and attacking her. Sam and Tara arrive just in time to stop Ghostface from killing Gail. The group agreed to meet Kirby at the theater to trap Ghostface. On the subway platform, they are separated and Mindy is stabbed by Ghostface. At the theater, Sam sees a vision of her father, original Ghostface killer Billy Loomis, who reminds her to defend herself and not trust anyone. Taking Billy's knife from the original murder, Sam realizes they have been locked inside. Wayne calls Sam and says he found out Kirby was fired from the FBI months prior for being mentally unstable. Two ghost faces appear and attack Chad as Tara and Sam try to escape. Kirby and Wayne arrive with guns drawn. Wayne shoots Kirby, revealing himself as a third ghost face. He admits to orchestrating the killings with his children, revealed to be Ethan and a still-alive Quinn, to avenge the death of his eldest son, Richie. They reveal their plan to kill Sam and frame her as Ghostface, making her the final piece of the shrine to honor Richie. Sam and Tara fight off the Bailey family, with Tara stabbing Ethan and Sam killing Quinn. Sam then dons her father's Ghostface costume and stabs Wayne to death. Ethan resurfaces, but Kirby smashes the television set that killed Stu Mocker over his head. Sam agrees to let Tara live her life more independently, and Tara agrees to go to therapy. As the still-alive Mindy, Chad, and Kirby are taken to the hospital, Sam stares at her father's ghost face mask before discarding it and Tara into the city. Okay. When we get to the character development, the logic, I got some shit to say, because there is one character's death in this movie that makes no freaking sense how they survived.
We're gonna get to that. Multiple of those issues.
All right, awesome. I look forward to when we get to that.
Oh man!
But starting with the plot.
Yeah.
What are the directors of these movies? Because I know the same directors came back for this one that weren't. Matt. I'm going to butcher his name, Matt Bettinelli Open?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Okay, and Tyler Gillette, I really appreciate that they paid attention to the first four movies that followed, and just the fan service that they are giving us, just the attention to detail. I freaking love these guys, and I really do hope that they come back for Scream 7. As a continuation from Scream 5, I feel that the whole New York setting was a really good idea. I have nothing against Woodsboro. Woodsboro is like Haddonfield to me. Up until this movie, it didn't really feel like, it wouldn't feel like a Scream movie if it didn't take place in Woodsboro. Like a Halloween movie, it just feels weird if it's not in Haddonfield. But they made it really work in this movie, and I'm actually like really shocked. I don't know. Like, I really didn't miss Woodsboro at all, and I feel that's a testament to how they breathe, these two breathe new life into this franchise, and I really appreciate that.
Dude, I will say this. I feel like the Scream movies have put a really big emphasis on, what's it called, Woodsboro?
Yeah, Woodsboro.
Yeah. And I feel like they were trying to go a little too hard with Woodsboro, like the Halloween franchise did with Haddonfield. Like, Haddonfield makes sense because it's Michael Myers' home.
Yeah.
With Woodsboro, it's just, I don't feel like Scream, with how universally loved supposedly the Stab movies are, I don't feel like they needed to freaking beat down that everything took place in Woodsboro.
I think probably just because, you know, the first murders took place in Woodsboro, so they're just like, oh, you know, why making the Stab movies, they're just like, oh, well, why would we ever want to leave Woodsboro? This is where the whole event happened. This is where the whole story was born. This is the home of Ghostface. So
I mean, you're not wrong.
Speaking of, so me and Christina are starting to watch from the beginning, like by the time we're like watching one a weekly, by the time that we finish 5, at least Scream 6 will hopefully be close to coming to Paramount Plus. But I didn't notice this in the first, it's just been that long since I thought the Ghostface costume was something that Stu and Billy just came up on their own. Like I thought they just saw like a random mask at like a department store, decided to do like the Creeper-esque outfit. They just came up with it on themselves. No, the one of the ladies shows like the actual like costume. They're just like, oh yeah, this is the costume that the killers are wearing. It's called like Father Death. I'm just like, for some reason I thought they came up with it on the thing that they just got it from a department store or a costume store or whatever.
I mean, it makes sense.
Oh, no, it does. But I just thought, you know, those two had more creativity.
True. But yeah, I think story-wise, everything that they did, it made sense for the characters. No, I was just going to say, I think the whole deal between Sam and Tara, or Sam being like super overprotective of Tara, completely made sense.
Oh yeah.
These
sisters are the best part of this new series.
Easily. Freaking easily. Like, so freaking good. I will say though, I think that I feel like the ghost faces needed something a little bit better.
Okay. I want to lead into that with my problem with this movie. Or, like, what I feel it's missing. Maybe it's just me, but when it came to when Wes Craven, unfortunately, passed away, may he rest in peace, when he directed these movies, Screams 1 through 4, it felt like there was more of a impact when Ghostface was revealed. It felt like the killers were more set up. It was more like impactful when they were unmasked. And don't get me wrong, it's still impactful. I don't get the shock and awe value anymore from when a Ghostface killer is revealed. from in 5 and in 6. And I don't know, maybe it's just because, I mean, Wes Craven was the master of suspense, of terror, with A Nightmare on Elm Street and Screams 1 through 4. Just, I feel that these new movies are kind of missing that. The Ghostface reveals aren't as big or, like, shocking as Wes Craven was so good at writing them. Is that just me?
You're absolutely right.
Yes.
It's because they freaking spoil it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, they give you enough of a hint where you're suspicious of the right people.
Yeah.
But there's so many things about these movies that I am constantly forgetting. I think the one thing that I always seem to forget about Scream movies is alibis don't mean dick all.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that is something I always, like, forget. Like, I always, like, I'm just, oh yeah, like, well, he was busy doing this. And so I'm like, start thinking about it. I'm like, no, there's always two, Caleb. Like, people... Like, there's always more than one, except for 3, which...
We saw how that went.
Yeah, so it's just, anytime I heard an alibi, I, like, was suspicious of it for some reason.
Yeah. But
I was just like, he has an alibi, like, whatever. And I think the whole meta discussion is a little overdone.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you on that. Like, did you... like, I'm trying to, like, breaking down, like, the 3 killers that are revealed to be Ghostface. The sister, I kind of liked that one because I felt that, like, you know, with her, like, we see her dead body and then it turns out, you know, like, what they went through, what Officer Bailey went through to, like, he was the first to respond, so he was able to sneak her out and just put in another body from another crime scene. That was a cool reveal. Like, I appreciated that because I did not see that one coming. But the freaking brother, yeah, I saw that coming from a mile away. You're just like,
dude, abso-freaking-lutely. I will say I did not care for how they shot that. I didn't care for them, cause he was like in full on like ghost face gear. And I'm like, that's kind of bullshit.
Yeah. Just,
like, yeah. He was on the train, and then it's just like, oh no. Like, I think that could, like, what they should have done is just have that be the reveal right there.
That would have actually been really cool. Like, I would have dug that reveal. Like, I don't understand why does the reveal always have to be, like, when all of the ghost
together?
Faces, yeah, all the ghost faces are together. Like, it's fine if it's separate. If anything, it adds to the story.
Yeah, absolutely. shit. I think, like, the story is just, it's a kind of a basic story overall. Like, there wasn't anything too crazy. It was just typical Scream. It was this typical Scream story. So
nothing too special
was there, but it was... Still all right.
Oh yeah, no, like I think they did a really good job, like you said, like making it like a classic Scream franchise, Scream story, but still like adding freshness to it, which I definitely appreciate.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not super high with this one. Like, I'll say it's above average, but I think I'm sitting at like maybe an 80.
Yeah, you know, I can match you there.
Moving on over to writing.
Okay, I am very... So, I gotta point this out because I actually... Like, I would say this is the writing and, like, how they set up the, you know, atmosphere of this whole thing. When they explained the whole, like, you know, like... Because the shrine was, like, really super cool. Like, it was very well established. But then I love the what's his name? Officer Bailey? How he points out, you know, if you pay... If you pay a cop enough under, you know,
evidence can go missing. No one really bats an eye. And that's just how he was able to get, because the shrine belonged to Randy. And so he wants to help his son finish it. And so when he adds that, I'm just like, okay, literally that's all you need to tell me as to how all of this evidence from the Ghostface killings is here. Makes complete sense. It's all you need to say.
They did that part true. Incredibly well.
Because it's true. Like, honestly, if we think back, like, I'm gonna, you know, let's bring in, like, John Wayne Gacy. We found this out at Greyface Museum that literally his attorney, Sam A. Moran, would sell stuff from the evidence locker of Gacy under the table to people. So, like, he was selling his, like, pogo and patches uniforms, his wallet, his leather jacket, like, stuff that was supposed to be in evidence because I don't think Gacy had been convicted yet or, like, or sentenced yet, so it was still there, and, you know. But, yeah, so, like, it's very clear. It does happen. It's effed up that it happens, but it definitely does happen.
Yeah, that kind of added a really cool sense of realism there, like just a real world issue.
Yeah,
I thought they did that really well. I think my main issue dialogue wise it was a lot of the filler dialogue was really not good.
that's fair. Like, if I had to say, like, my favorite lines of dialogue, it would definitely have Mindy, when she's, like, literally explaining, like, oh, you know, this is what happened in Scream 5, because that was, like, the introduction back into the franchise, but, you know, this is the sequel, it's gotta be bigger, you know, we gotta bring in more legacy characters, all of this shit. I, like, honestly was, like, smiling when she was saying this, because I'm like, she is absolutely right, this is exactly how it has to be. I forget, Mindy's writing in this movie, I freaking love so much. It's Mindy. Yeah, Mindy. Because I think it's when the brother, like, comes up and helps her or some shit, like, after the subway, and she's just like, oh, fuck, I got the killer wrong again. I hate this franchise or some shit like that. Like, that is funny as hell. I loved her writing so much in this movie.
It was pretty good. I think that, like, this is the issue I have with all of the Scream movies. The character, like, basically the Mindy character, the one who basically points out exactly how the movie's going to go. I find them really annoying.
See, in some Scream movies, I find them annoying. Her, I do not, for some reason. I don't know what it is.
I mean, that's fair. I can definitely see why you would like her. It's just, she didn't quite do it for me.
No, dude, I get it. I completely get it.
I'm trying to think of some other shit. I think the relationship between Tara and Chad was just utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere. I was like, I'd never suspected any, like, sexual tension or, like, any, like, oh, you know, I have feeling five between them. And I mean, I know, like, her has passed in between this, but just, it just comes so out of left field when is, yeah, I'm like, okay, so this is happening. I mean, I'm not against it, but just, it just feels, this is so out of left field.
Yeah. It felt very forced.
Yes.
Unfortunately. Absolutely. A lot of things felt forced. Like, I feel Gail was freaking forced in here too.
She was. They definitely wanted to make sure that they kept at least one legacy. Well, actually, wait, no, because Kirby's in this, and I would consider her a legacy character because she's from Scream 4. But, like, no, I completely agree with you. Like, I will say I appreciate that, even though it was, like, very, like, subtle and fast, they explain why Sydney isn't there, and it makes complete sense. You know, like, they're not, like, bashing on
Neve Campbell or anything, and like I don't see why they would. It's not like the writers and directors have a great relationship with her. She had a blast working with M5. It's just the studio, and so like the way that they were just like, oh hey, you know, like Sydney kids, you know, she's safe. She doesn't. The way that they set that up, I feel, and I think it was Corey Reviews. Yeah, I think it was Corey Reviews on. He just pointed out, you know, like it sets it up that if she does want to come back to the franchise.
Yeah, I think that line, don't get me wrong, that line needed to happen. Like, we needed to figure, like, know why Sydney wasn't there. I feel like they just kind of shoehorned it in really unnaturally.
Okay, that's fair. Like, do you think that's just how the line was written, or do you think that's how Courtney Cox?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
I mean, hate me all you want. I don't think Courtney Cox is a very good actress.
All right, I'm out. Don't you? Wow, you bashing on Courtney? Wow, I can't believe you.
I know. I don't feel great about it, but it's true. Her delivery of that line was very like robotic and felt very like, oh yeah, like right after. I think it needed to happen before someone threw a punch.
Dude, can we talk about that? That was that whole the scene before, or like couple scenes before, when Sam goes to swing. She's like, "Sorry, honey, it's not my first rodeo." And then freaking
Tara comes up with a freaking haymaker. Dude, that was freaking hilarious.
One of the best scenes ever. Oh my god, that was badass.
Dude, that was oh my gosh, I laughed so hard at same. That. Because I think I was taken off guard. Like, actually, it was, I remember, so I was sitting there watching that, and so Sam goes, takes a swing, and Gail, like, dodges out of the way, and then says, that's not my first rodeo, and I remember thinking that moment, there's two of them. And then bam, like, freaking Terry comes in with the hit, and, like, I was laughing so freaking hard.
Did you have a good...
No. Luckily, there was only one other couple in the theater with me. I got real lucky, but I got real paranoid too.
Oh, dude. So, and I felt so bad for her. It was fine for me. But there was two ladies that sat next to her that would not shut the fuck up during the movie. Chatted throughout the whole thing. Literally, were looking up who. On their phones during the movie. Christina reached over many times to tell them to shh. And they look over at her and then just go back to it. And she gave them the dirtiest look when we left. And I remember when the credits started rolling, she's just like, I swear to God, I'm fucking Ghostface on their asses.
You got to be careful about saying that shit now.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
But she they all totally
jokes,
get it.
All jokes.
All jokes, yep. Until it actually happens.
Yeah.
But, dude, I don't blame her.
Yeah, it was
freaking people bullshit. Doing annoying shit like that. Yeah. I'm so overly cautious about my phone use if I'm in the movie. Like, if I have to. And that's only if, like, my phone's, like, going off. Like, someone's calling me or whatever.
I won't even check it.
Yeah, so I used to not. But now that I have a wife and kid, I kind of...
Yeah, that's understandable.
But my go-to now is so I'll wear like a flannel when I go to movies, or just like a shirt over my shirt. And so if I have to check my phone for whatever reason, I'll shove my phone in like under my shirt, and then just kind of like look through my collar. Down at my phone, so it's like the least distracting it could possibly be.
All right, I appreciate it.
But yeah, I got real lucky with this viewing. I will say the only thing that like had me a little nervous is I don't like sitting in front of people during a horror movie. Like, I wasn't like, they were like in the back row, and so I was like, okay, I'm not gonna like walk all the way to the back because that just makes me look suspicious. Like, I'll just kind of sit up in the front row in the middle. And so that's where like my seat was, but I was so like I must have looked like a creep because I kept like turning around real quick or trying to catch him in my peripheral just to like,
that's funny.
Because I was so nervous. I'm just like, they're like, these people could be psychos. Like seeing a movie on a weekday in the middle of the middle of the day, like these just scream serial killer. And then I had to remind myself, I'm like, you're here too. And you're by yourself. I think that makes you a little bit more suspicious.
I think you're, as long as no one walks in with a gun, because if that happens, to quote Shoddy in a scary movie, run, bitch, run.
Dude, did you hear about or have you seen on TikTok the friggin' videos of people doing that?
Oh, this shit, like, seriously wore ghost face masks to this?
I don't even think it was like, they just didn't wear it to the movie. I think they snuck in the middle of the movie. Yeah. Like, I saw one video of this guy who, so it was kind of like, it's kind of set up like Cinemark in AF a little bit, where it was like the multiple rows of the luxury loungers, but the front row, it was like a really big wall, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So, like, it's just kind of like that big wall, so you can't see anything below that wall. And there's like a guy that walked in, but like ducked it under that wall, and he threw on a ghost face mask and then just stood up, like, and looked at everyone in the theater with his ghost face mask on, and people like were losing their shit.
Oh, hell no. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like, no. Someone does that, like, someone's catching some hands.
Yeah, seriously. You, sir, can kiss my ass.
Oh my gosh. Like, my fight or flight instincts would kick in. And,
oh my god, my anxiety would shoot through the roof.
Dude, like, it's my typical game plan. The exact reason why I will never go to a movie theater without and not get a drink. Because the drink is my distraction to be able to get up on whoever, like, the oncoming attacker. Like, right. That's my go-to. I'm going to, like, see a would-be assailant. I'm going to take my drink, freaking throw it at them, like, splash them. So I'll splash them first, and I'll keep the cup, and then I'll throw the cup at them, get, like, a freaking double throw off, and then I'll just freaking go in and guns a-blazing.
All right, I like this plan.
Like, throwing hands like they're going out of style.
Oh my god.
Dude, I have an escape plan for literally everything that I do.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, but yeah, so my biggest issue with this movie is coming in to the writing. I think the extra dialogue, like the filler bullshit, was a little ridiculous.
That's fair.
Yeah, so I didn't really dig it all that much. I'm trying to decide where I'm sitting. Where are you sitting with writing?
I would say I'm a little below story. I still had a good time with the writing. I think there's hits and misses. But for me, there might be a little more hits than you. I don't know. So writing, I think I'm going to be a 78.
That's not bad. I might be a hair lower than you, though. I think I'm going to go with 77.
Fair.
All right, moving on over to acting. So going through the cast real quick. I don't know why she had in credits order. I don't know why she was top of the frickin'. But Courtney Cox.
It's because it's Courtney Cox.
Yeah. Freaking dumb. Anyway, Courtney Cox, who played Gail Weathers. We have Melissa Barrera, who plays Sam Carpenter. Jenna Ortega, who plays Tara Carpenter. Jasmine Savoy Brown, who plays Mindy Meeks Martin. Mason Gooding, who plays Chad Meeks Martin. Skeet Ulrich, who plays Billy Loomis. Roger Jackson, who plays The Voice. Dermo Malroney, who plays Detective Bailey. Jack Champion, who plays Ethan Landry. Josh Segarra, who plays Danny Brackett. Liana Liberato, who plays Quinn Bailey. Devin Nakota, who plays Anika Kayoko. And then we have Hayden Panettiere, who plays Kirby Reed. I think that's every note there. Yeah, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was this the first movie that, like, did Hayden Panettiere come out of retirement for this movie?
I actually do not know. That's a great question.
Let's see if she was. Because, I mean, she hasn't been in anything else, or at least she hasn't been credited for anything since 2018.
Yeah, maybe she did. I mean, if she did, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Just looking up this article from Vanity Fair. So it says Scream 6 was not only a homecoming for her in returning to the franchise, it was also a returning to the screen after a 4-year hiatus from acting.
That's awesome.
That is really cool. I'm so glad that she did. Like, she freaking helped this movie out a lot.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, what's your top three look like? Actually, I'm assuming Sam and Tara are maybe top two.
Yes, yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay, same here. So let's do... okay, who's your number one?
Number one, I'd probably give...
Okay, same here. So our one and two are the same.
Okay. So do we want...
So let's do... So we know one and two are the same, so let's do 3, 4, and 5.
Okay. Let's see, so number five... Oh, that's hard. Because I have, like, my 3 and 4 picked out. 5 is where I struggle a little bit. But I got this. You know, 5... Just because I liked the way that she played the character was really good, and her reveal as one of the Ghostface killers was my favorite of it. So I'll give number 5 to Liana Liberato, who played Quinn Bailey. I really enjoyed her performance. Number 4, I'm going to give to Hayden Panettiere, Kirby Reed. Loved seeing her back in this role. She was probably my favorite part. So seeing her come back into this role was fantastic. It was one of the biggest things that I was looking forward to with 6, and she did not let me down. She was a great... and the idea that, you know, she becomes an FBI agent makes complete sense. You know, after surviving a Ghostface killing, I'd honestly want to go behind the scenes and people like this behind bars. But number 3, I would give to Jasmine Savoy Brown, who played Mindy. Like I pointed out, I freaking loved her dialogue in this movie. The way that she was explaining how everything works in this kind of sequel is just great. Just her whole character throughout the movie, I just had such a blast with, and I'm so glad that she is one of the survivors of this movie. I appreciate the core 4 survived. There's one that I'm just like, I'm calling total freaking bullshit on to surviving.
Oh, we will be getting into that.
Okay, cool. Cause yeah, this person came out on Gurney, I'm like, I think I reached over to Christina. I'm like, there's no fucking way that they survived. There's no. But anyway, I'm cursing. I'm saying the F word a lot in this episode. I'm sorry. But
I hurting my feelings.
Okay, cool. Good. Yeah. So yeah, Jasmine is my number 3. She was freaking fantastic. Yeah. That's my top 5.
Dude, I will say this. A lot of the people that end up being the Ghostface killer freaking ruin their performance in my eyes after they get revealed.
Fair. Officer Bailey, like, definitely ruined it for me when he was one of the Ghostface.
Oh my gosh, dude. All of them. Like, yeah. I was actually really digging Ethan, and I really liked Quinn, but seeing them, like, after the Ghostface reveal, I hated them. I'm like, gosh, you guys are so freaking annoying.
Fair.
Like, can we have one person that doesn't go complete batshit when they get revealed?
No, because you have to be bad.
I understand that, but still, it's annoying.
You know, yeah, I just...
No, what were you saying?
No, can I actually just change one on mine? I'm sorry.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I totally forgot about someone in this movie. I'm kicking Quinn off of my top five. Five is going to Gale, Courtney Cox. For some reason, I completely forgot about her. But I'm thinking about her whole fight scene with Ghostface and just the call that she gets with Ghostface. It's so freaking great. That, yeah, I gotta give number five to Gale. Sorry about that. So, yeah, Quinn, you're off the list. Gale takes your place.
Oh, man. Let's see. My number... Okay, I'm gonna go 3, 4, 5 instead of working my way up. So my number three I'm gonna give to Hayden Panettiere, who played Kirby. She's an amazing actress, dude. She is so freaking good. Like, she can play suspicious so well. Like, I knew that she was helping, and I was just like, yeah, like, we're freaking, like, team, like, let's solve this together. And then the second they put that, like, little shadow of doubt in our minds about whether or not she was just psycho, that really tripped me up, because I was like, oh, is she? And I'll say it, I freaking fell for that shit so hard.
Oh, I did too. Same here.
I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one. But yeah, I was real freaking suspicious of her. Like, especially the way that she locked the gate. I was just like, ooh, something's up. But yeah. Freaking loved her. Let's see, my number four and five are going to be hard, because those were like between Sam, Tara, and Kirby, those were the only ones I actually liked.
Damn.
All right, I'll give my number four to Jasmine Savoy Brown, who played Mindy. I will say, even though she did annoy me, she did do a really good job at selling everything that she was meant to sell. So, fantastic job from her. My number five, I think I'm going to give to Josh Segarra, who played Danny.
Oh, okay.
I was super freaking sus of him for a long time. I'm just like, yeah, it has to be. Like, I was super freaking... But I think what sold me, so this is what I thought was going to happen. So when Sam and Tara are going inside the shrine, and she tells Danny to basically bounce, and he's like, oh yeah, like, she's like, we don't know you, you're a stranger. I'm just like, harsh but true. I'm like, good call, Sam. And when he's like, oh, okay, like, yeah, like, I totally get it. Just be safe and all that. I was just like, okay. And then when they turned around, and I think it was because it was either Kirby or Sam that blocked him from the view of the camera, I was like, oh, shit, he's going to knock one of them out. But
oh, shit, I love it.
Yeah, because I was just... My whole thing, I was trying not to be suspicious of him, but if Scream's taught me anything, you always be suspicious of the love interest.
True that. True that.
So I was really freaking suspicious of him. But luckily he ended up being like the nice guy and ended up working out. Really glad that I ended up being wrong on that. So yeah. And then, of course, like, we can't not talk about the sisters real quick. Like, holy, they were so good.
Oh, yeah. Even better in this one than they were in...
Dude, I will say, I was afraid they both snapped at the end of this movie.
I felt the same way.
Like, it was... Like, Sam getting all dressed up in in Billy's Ghostface outfit, that had me, like, thinking some things. I was just like, oh, shit. Like, you guys broke her.
My question for you is, just because, I don't know, for me, I find it kind of thing, is the whole, like, them driving the idea home that, oh, it's in your blood, you were born to be a killer, you know, it's what your dad did. I'm honestly getting tired of hearing that shit. I know it's supposed to be in her character, but if I hear someone, one more person say to Sam, it's in your blood, you're a true killer. I'm like, no, that's not how it freaking works. You could choose not to be a killer.
Her therapist pissed me off.
Oh, yeah, her therapist was a dick. Oh, I was glad when Ghostface killed him.
Dude, this might be on Sam, too, but she picked a real shitty therapist.
Yeah, she really
like,
did.
Why did she choose one that was so obviously into horror movies?
Straight up.
Like, I'm not sure if you caught this, like, in the background, but he had little Adam's Family figures in the background.
Oh, I did not catch that.
Yeah, like, they were, like, it wasn't, like, pop figures or anything, but they were just, like, little bobblehead-looking figures, or just, like, you know those, it's just, like, really big, fat, like, characters, and, yeah, like wacky, it's not obvious, like, it never showed them, like, super obviously on his table, but you could definitely make out that one of them looked, like, super, like, Pugsley, and then there was a couple others that looked like Morticia and Gomez. Yeah, I didn't catch Wednesday, but I did, like, for sure I saw a Morticia, a Gomez, I think I saw Uncle Fester, and I saw Pugsley. Okay. So I did not see Wednesday, but it was, like, in the background, like, they didn't, like I said, they didn't focus on that whatsoever. So, yeah, I was just like, I would be super, like, the last person that I would want to talk to in a situation like that, where I'd have to go see a therapist, would be someone that is into horror movies in any regard.
Telling me is I could not be a therapist. Got it.
No, like, you couldn't be my therapist if I was like, oh, this dude who's was obsessed with a certain brand of horror movie tried to murder me. Like, the last person I want to go talk to is someone who's into horror movies. Because obviously, the horror movie fan base is nuts. So, yeah. Anyway, just needed to bring up. Anyway. what are you thinking for acting?
I mean, just because, like, you know, Sam and Tara were in most of the supporting cast, I would probably say I'm, like, the same as my story.
I might actually give a few bonus points for Sam and Tara.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I'm actually going to be up at it like an 83. All right, next up we have character development, but with this being a horror movie, we are following logic. And dude, this was absolute horse shit.
So which one do we want to start with?
I know the one that you're wanting to talk about.
Okay.
But I wanted to bring up real quick the bullshit final fight between Sam and Detective Bailey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was bullshit.
What in the actual ass was that? So, for those of you who chose to listen that hadn't seen this movie, Tara is hanging off of this balcony, getting swiped at by, what's his name, Ethan. And she tells Tara, oh, drop me. And she's like, all right, here, hands her a knife, drops her, and she kills, or she starts stabbing Ethan, or Tara starts stabbing Ethan. Then Sam leans over, grabs a gun, pulls the gun on Quinn, which I don't know why the hell Quinn didn't just charge her.
She's literally, as she's holding on to Tara, she's like just creep, like slowly walking up to her. I'm like, you could have ended this like 20 seconds ago.
Yeah, like your death is on you at this point.
Yeah.
So Sam like leans over, grabs a gun, points it at Quinn, shoots her in the head. She falls dead. And then right behind her is Detective Bailey, who watches as his daughter falls to the ground. And Sam makes some snarky comment about losing her kid or losing his kid. And then she goes to fire again and click, no bullets. Totally fair. Like, I feel like that builds enough suspense. Like, go for it. But what threw me off and what I'm calling bullshit on is Detective Bailey freaking charges at Sam instead of pointing the gun at her and shooting. And he doesn't even pull the trigger until she freaking, like, football tackles him to the ground. Like, she freaking, like, body checks him. He's, like, falling over and then bam, bam, like, pops off a couple shots. I'm like, you're a freaking idiot. Like, this is so stupid. You have a gun, you dipshit. So I really hated that scene. A lot of my issues were with, like, the final scene.
Oh, yeah, honestly, I feel all that. Because all, like, the kills up until that point, like, makes sense, you know, completely get it. Like, even the whole Quinn thing, the way that they explain it, it makes sense. I get it. But do not get me started on when, I'm assuming it's the two kids that are in this attire in the scene. They have Chad on his knees. And they are both stabbing him at the same time, repeatedly, in the chest area. Repeatedly. Each of them probably gets at least 10 stabs in, if not more. Now,
he was straight up getting used like a pincushion.
He straight up was. And I know, I'm sure people are going to say, yeah, but, you know, they weren't hitting any vital arteries, shit like that. I don't give a fuck. No, there is no way that not one of those stabs would have hit something. There's no freaking way. So when he's like stabbed like 40 freaking times and he falls to the floor, I'm like, yep, he dead. Yeah, complete sense. But no, at the end, he is brought out on a freaking gurney and I call absolute bullshit. There's no way that you can survive being stabbed, especially in the chest area that close to the heart, because there's no way that they did not hit that vital organ. And survive. There's no freaking way. The guy was stabbed close to 50, if not more than 50 times.
Yeah.
That guy was mutilated.
Borderline ridiculous.
Like Caleb said, he was used as a pincushion.
Yeah, straight up. It was just... My hell. It was so dumb. So this is another issue that I had with the movie. Where were the significant kills? Everyone important survived. Sam survived. Tara survived. Don't want to kill them off? Fine. Mindy survived. Chad survived. Frickin' Gail survived. The only people that didn't were the two frickin' ghost faces. Their dad, who was also, I guess, one of the ghost faces.
I think
Kirby survived.
Yeah.
And Anika. Anika was the only death in their group.
The only scene that I can think of that it was definitely clearly a thing, or ghost face thing, ghost face outfit was the beginning. Like, I truly believe that it's him that says, who gives a fuck about the movie? I don't think it was either. But that's the only time that I can really think.
Yeah. Dude, I want to address something. What is up with the freaking bullshit superhuman strength that the ghost faced mask seems to give people?
Dude, straight up, I brought this up to Christina, because it's revealed that the one that takes on Gail in her house is, what's the daughter's name again?
Quinn.
So it's revealed that that's her that takes on Gail. How in the... I mean, I don't know how strong she is. I'm sure she's very strong. But she lifts a whole mountain of a man, because Gail's boyfriend looks pretty buff. He's pretty buff. She freaking lifts his dead body up and throws it through a freaking window.
Yeah.
Bullshit! What kind of freaking...
Yeah, and she is dinky. Yeah. She's 5'7".
Like, I get it. You'd be amazing.
with what, like, you can do when you have that much, like, aggression and anger and just adrenaline. But still, I'm calling bullshit.
You're not throwing a full-grown man through a glass shelf.
Yeah.
I am sorry. No.
Yeah, when they revealed that, I'm just like, that's not me being like, oh, you know, like, she could totally be that strong. I believe she's that strong. But there's no freaking way that someone could throw a dead body that hard through a freaking window. Like, she freaking chucked that shit.
Yeah, no joke. So if that was freaking Quinn, which it had to be, because wasn't Ethan with them or no?
I think he was. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so Ethan and Detective Bailey were both with Sam and Tara. So it had to be Quinn. So yeah, she freaking threw a grown-ass mountain of a man around like a rag doll. Yeah, freaking ridiculous. Got in a big-ass fight with Gail, which, I mean, whatever. The other one that I'm not super buying is little string bean Ethan.
Fair.
Like, freaking really unbelievable. They must have been freaking, like, roided out or something, because the feats that they were able to pull off were just not even remotely in line with the shit that happened, or not, didn't match their physique whatsoever. So, yeah. This was one of the movies that I had a real big issue with the fighting. And this isn't, like, an issue I've had with Scream in general. Like, it's the freaking bullshit that they think they can get away with, because they're like, oh, it's Ghostface, it could be anyone. No, it can't. Yeah. Make the feats suitable for who's under the mask at the time.
Yep, exactly. Because once you start going back, once you reveal who the killer is and you're able to pinpoint who was wearing the mask at that exact kill, yeah, you start to get a little bit of plot holes.
Plot holes is being real nice.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, with this one, I am not very high.
Fair. And same. The question is, how high are you, or how low are you?
I'm definitely below my writing. Like, I think I'm at, like, a solid 75.
Dude, I was thinking the same.
All right, where this movie kind of redeems itself, effects. The effects in this were really good.
Especially that freaking opening scene. With the whole, roommate in the fridge. Like, ooh.
Yeah, no joke. That was just straight up haunting.
Yeah, can we... The Ghostface killers in this one, even Sam, like, they don't F around when it comes to stabbing someone. Because, like, most, you know, Ghostface killers will, you know, stab someone a couple times. No, these people go, like, freaking, like, 10, 15, 20 times. I'm like, Jesus.
I know, it's like they freaking owe him money or something.
Yeah. And like how, like, the one, I forget his name, but Flash from the Spider-Man movies, he's the first, like, Ghostface killer we see, which I love that they do, like, such a different idea with that, because he takes off the Ghostface costume and just throws it into his backpack after he kills Samara Weaving's character. I'm like, what the fuh? Like, that's new. I love that. But then, you know, he inevitably dies by the real Ghostface in this movie. But yeah, the freaking, like, how he's talking to Ghostface on the phone, and he's just like, yeah, the more I stabbed her, the more she felt like a piece of meat. And I'm just like, dude, you sound like you're getting a freaking hard on from this shit.
Yeah.
It was a little too much. I'm like, god damn, okay. Let's calm down here, buddy.
Yeah, it was a bit much. But I mean, damn.
Yeah. I swear, he stabbed Samara Weaving, like, over 10 times.
Easily.
Jesus.
Like, freaking easy, dude.
Dude, like, and, like, especially at the ending when Sam kills Officer Bailey, for how many times she stabs him, I'm like, are you sure you're not your father's child?
because you're not exactly giving yourself a fair point here. You're
letting your Loomis show.
Yes. Question for you, because maybe how well do you remember Scream 5?
Pretty decent.
Okay, because me and Christine were talking about this. Is it ever said who Billy Loomis had sex with to for Sam to be born? Because it wasn't Sydney, right?
No.
Who was it?
I don't know exactly who it was, but I think it was a case of being unfaithful. So from what I remember, I think it was like just a one-time fling where Sam's mom got pregnant, left the school, and then got with Sam's quote-unquote dad, eventually had Tara, and yeah, so I think it was just kind of a one-time fling.
Okay.
All right. Situation. Okay, it was either that. It was either just like, oh, maybe like a pre Sydney or mid Sydney.
Like how you put that.
Yeah, I have to hold on. Now I need to look it up. Samantha Carpenter is the illegitimate daughter of Billy Loomis and Christina Carpenter. Sam always believed her legal father, Mr. Carpenter, was her biological father. One day when she was 13, Tara was 8, she was searching the attic for Christmas presents, and she found her mom's diaries, which revealed that she was actually born to another man whom her mother had an affair with in high school. The man was none other than Billy. Sam was shocked by this revelation, demanded an explanation from her mother, unaware that her father was listening, and as a result of the confrontation, he left the family in anger. Mr. Carpenter abandoned the family around Tara's 8th birthday. Okay, so it doesn't say anything regarding a timeline. All it shows is that Sam's mom was the one that was having the affair. It doesn't say anything about Billy being unfaithful as well.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, at least not that I can... Yeah. I'm not seeing anything else. Yeah. So, yeah. So, it was... I'm going
to go back and watch Scream 5 again.
But, yeah, like I said, it wasn't anything timeline-wise, there was nothing shown.
Gotcha.
Like, okay. Even if you go, like, so I'm on the Scream wiki page. She was mentioned in Scream 2022. She was, she is the ex-fling of Billy Loomis.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she cheated with Billy. But doesn't say if... Anyway. I forget, what was the
I forgot.
The point of we were trying to make with that?
I straight up forgot.
Anyway. The other... Like, the effects that they had in this... I can't think of a single one that felt... not good.
I agree. Blood looked good. Prosthetics looked...
Yeah. I feel like something that past Scream movies have done is excessive blood. But I think the only kill that I felt may have looked a bit excessive was Quinn's boyfriend.
Fair.
When he was like in the shower.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's the only one I can...
Yeah, other than that, like, all the other ones felt super consistent. I gotta say, the freaking kill of Anika when she fell from the ladder.
Oh dude.
Damn.
But, yeah, dude, the prosthetics looked...
Dude, if that wasn't a freaking dummy, like, I would be genuinely shocked. Like, that the freaking hit of that, like the impact was just brutal. And then, like you said, the prosthetics that they put on her afterward looked incredible. Like, I had a hard time, like, watching.
Oh, dude, same.
That, it was so freaking good. So, major props to whoever worked on that. Otherwise, like, the other kills were good. The guy in the fridge looked good. The freaking therapist getting stabbed in the freaking face, like, that was rough.
Damn.
Like, all that shit looked really freaking good, and I think this is where the movie freaking shines.
Oh, yeah.
What are you thinking with effects?
Oh, dude, for how solid they were.
That's about where I'm at, too. I actually might be a point or two higher. Yeah. I'll give it a 92, just for shits and giggles. All right, next up we got music.
It's pretty solid. I think it was only in one song that, like, when I think of Scream, or, like, when I hear that song, I don't think that there was really, like, songs and, like, credits. Like, those were pretty good. I mean, I could be wrong, besides, like, that Red Right Hand.
Not really. I wasn't even super impressed with the end credits song.
I did like because I actually downloaded In My Head. I thought that was a good song.
Yeah, I can't think of, like, anything that just, like, stood out other than, like, that one song that you brought up. So
that's fair.
I'm somewhere between a 6 or a 7. So, I mean, I'll let, if you wanted to go up higher, I'll go. Yeah, I can definitely go 7. Yeah, like I said, if you're gonna go a little higher, I might need you to. I might need to listen to the soundtrack, fair. But if you're going 7, then yeah, I can meet you at 7. All right, next up we got costumes, and dude,
this movie just gets props from me for the fact that literally the killer was leaving the mask from each case of the Ghostface killings. Like, it was so freaking cool. Like, and it led up to the Ghostface mask worn by Billy. Such a freaking cool idea, and it was so well executed. I loved it so much. So, like, the costumes get, like, a huge boost from me for that.
Oh, yeah. Easily. I mean, everyone else's costumes, it's a horror movie. It's basic as basic can be. But the Ghostface costumes, like, each mask felt like its own. It had its own, like, character to it. Like, and it was fantastic. I think the biggest sin of this movie is not giving us what that room looked like with all the masks on.
Dude, straight up. Oh my god. That would have been so cool.
That would have been the shit. And I'm so bummed out that we didn't get to see something like that. So, I mean, damn. Like, that was such a cool room. Just, like, the shrine itself was so epic. So, not being able to see it in its entirety was, it freaking bummed me out. Just a bit. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to dock the movie because of that. Of something we didn't get to see, but.
But still, though, I.
Yeah. Honestly, my only issue is maybe figuring out, like, I don't know if I can justify a 10.
I don't think I can either. Like, I'm at a strong ass 9, though.
I am too. Like, honestly, I am too. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, everyone's costumes, like, they looked decent and whatnot. Like, it worked for the movie. So, I think with them, I'd be somewhere about a 7-ish if it was just them. But the utilization of the Ghostface mask was so wonderfully done. And setting this in a time, like, during Halloween, like, freaking
perfect.
Yeah, genius. And then, like, you got to understand why we were seeing so many Ghostface masks. Because we were seeing them everywhere. And so, like, their utilization of that, their justification for using so many of those masks was perfect. So yeah, I'm at a very strong 9 as well. All right, last up, we got our own personal score. I want to hear like your final thoughts for or last. So
okay,
like finish off on those. So, I really, really enjoyed this movie. It was a really fun time. Honestly, any complaints that I have are maybe just on creativity with the kills. And like, don't get me wrong, there were very creative kills, but I feel like they could be taking them a bit further than they do. The story was good, got a little too meta there in the middle, which kind of meh. But I mean, overall, it was a really compelling story. They definitely throw you for a loop every once in a while. Like, the whole Quinn thing threw me so hard. I was just like, that's bullshit. Because I feel like we saw her body. But then, like, as I'm thinking about it now, it's like, did we, though? So, I have a hard time with that one. But I loved it. Loved the legacy, like seeing the legacy characters, seeing Hayden Panettiere come back to play Kirby was really, really exciting. So with that, I think I'm going to be at like an 86.
Yeah, I agree with all the points that Caleb said. This was a really, really fun sequel. I would compare this one to like how I felt about Halloween Kills. This is definitely like the kind of horror movie that you go to the theaters for just to have a bloody good time in clever ways. So especially for that, I think I enjoyed it more than Scream 5, and that's not a bash in Scream 5 at all. But just, yeah, the whole New York setting works so well for the Scream franchise. The returning characters are the further they take their character. The legacy characters are great. Hayden Panettiere, like Caleb said, wonderful having her back. And even Courtney Cox, I really enjoyed her. So yeah, overall, I really enjoyed this Scream. Like I pointed out, it still feels, though, when it comes to the Ghostface reveals in this new, I'm assuming it's going to be a trilogy. So I'm going to say in this new trilogy, the Ghostface reveals are not as impactful as Wes Craven made them. But I feel that if I'm looking past that, I appreciate what these two directors are in keeping this Scream franchise. So I am going to be slightly below Caleb, though. I'm going to be at
completely fair. All right, well, with that, going through our scores real quick, starting off with story, we were at a very strong 80. Moving over to writing, we dropped down a little bit, sitting at a 77.5. Acting averaged out to an 81.5. Character development was probably the lowest that we gave, so that one was sitting at a 75. Or not character development, logic. The effects got a significant boost, sitting at a solid 91. Music, slightly above average, sitting at a 7. Costumes got a pretty decent bump just because of the Ghostface costume and how iconic it is, sitting at a 9. And then our personal score averaged out to an 85. So, with that, the final All Bros letter grade for Scream 6 has come to a B-.
Alright, not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. I'll be real, based off of the scores alone, I did not think it was going to get that high.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be in the C+ range.
Yeah, same here. It's actually one of our stronger B-.
All right, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's, so out of our B- movies, it's the third one. Yeah, so that is interesting. I thought it'd be closer to a C+, but, I mean, guess not. Anyway, So it is sitting right now, like I said, it's sitting in the in B minus, but it is sitting at an 82.5. So that puts it above The Hunt, which is at an 82.47. It's above Chippendale Rescue Rangers, which is at an 82.43. It is above Let's Be Cops, which is at an 82.37. As well as Smile, which is also at an 82.37.
Okay.
It is also above Ron's Gone Wrong, which is at an 82.31. And yeah. So I think that's the 5, 1, 2, 1. Yeah, that's 5. So that's where it's what it's sitting above. Going what it's below, it is below Mulan, the remake, which is at an 82.62. It's below The Greatest Showman, which is at an 82.93. And then getting into the B range, it is below Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, which is at an 83.06. It is below Violent Night, which is at an 83.18. And then finally, it is below Shazam, which is at an 83.25.
A Scream.
Interesting. Long time ago.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I'm just having a heart. So it is below Scream 2022. Yeah, so Scream 2022 scored a B+. And it is sitting at an 86.56, where Scream 6 is sitting at an 82.5.
Okay.
So that is a 4% difference. I actually did.
Okay.
I enjoyed Scream 5 a little bit more than I did. Yeah, we need to get the Scream franchises scored as well.
I absolutely agree.
So yeah, that's where it's sitting. So anyway. Well, that wraps up this week's breakdown. If you like this episode, want to check out more of our stuff, be sure to follow and subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are basically everywhere. You can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, Spotify, and more. You can also catch all of our episodes on YouTube, if that is how you would prefer to listen. Be sure to follow us on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, all at The All Bros. You can also email us at theallbroschannel@gmail.com if you want to hit us up for an episode idea, want to join us for an episode. We would love to have anyone on. So yeah, you can also find links to everything that we do on our website, tinyurl.com/theallbros, where you can find links to, like I said, everything that we do. So with that, next week, we will be breaking down Shazam, Fury of the Gods. Really excited for that movie, and yeah. Anything else you wanted to say, Rose?
No.
All right. Well, with that, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I'm Caleb. And we will catch you guys next week. Deuces.
So long.